For there is no name like the great name of Almighty Yahweh. And as we enter into the tabernacle to worship you and to bless you, we do sing the highest praises to your mighty name. We thank you, Yahweh. We bless you for the precious hope, Yahshua HaMashiach, Lamb of Israel. For your salvation is sure. You have assured us in the precious promise that we are redeemed, that the sufficient offering of HaMashiach was sufficient. And for that we do thank you, we bless you, we do praise you. We do exalt your mighty name forevermore. We pray that your anointing fill the house. You deal with the heart of everyone. Show us the corrupt nature and those things that are vile and sadistic, very evil. Generation that declares that it knows you, yet in the fruit and the work, we deny him. HaMashiach declared that with the mighty power, the visitation of Yahweh, when he comes, when HaMashiach shall appear in the Shemayim, he shall come for a people that are teeming in much fruit abundantly. We must have your true ahava, the power of your faith in our hearts, to do all things to please you. And so we pray that the hearts of your people, the mind, will be brought under great repentance, that each one will repent of their wickedness and their corruption, the sinful deeds and nature of the heart. They will cry out diligently with a pure heart to please you. We pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. You declare that those that pray for Jerusalem, shalom, and that love Jerusalem, that they shall prosper. They shall be full of your wealth and health. They shall know the power of your mighty blessings, the fullness, the assurance, of the hope, of the living word that you have given unto us. So this night we acknowledge you in all things. We pray that you strengthen us, those that are listening, of the live stream tonight, everyone that is listening tonight, whomever it is. We pray for the homes, that your shalom will fill every home, that you bless them mightily and strengthen them. We pray for our enemies, those that despitefully use us, we do pray for them. God bless your word tonight as it is spoken, that your strength may fill the bosom and the heart of the speaker, and that we may receive with gladness and thanksgiving the true word of Yahweh. Touch us all tonight, I do pray. Bless you for our brothers and sisters in many parts of the world. They're engaged in tremendously hard times. Give them strength to overcome. We ask all things in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. We bless you. We do thank you. And all the Kiddushim said hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Well. Come on, lift your hands.
Hallelujah. Well.
You believe that? Lift your hands and Shabbat Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Well.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
For this night, this scripture truth, we do bless you in the mighty name of HaMashiach. We thank you for all things, for your love, your kindness and mercies toward us all. We pray that you give us strength tonight to have our ears open, that we must hear and will hear what thus saith Almighty Yahweh. So we say to you, speak to us and speak to us plainly and clearly, that we may know and understand without doubt or reservation of mind, but that we will receive all truth by the Emunah of HaMashiach. Bless all the listeners tonight, wherever they're listening. Yeshua's mighty name, we bless you and we thank you. And all the Kiddushim said, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Look to your neighbor and say, Yahweh blesses you. Shame to you, my brother. You may be seated. For he is good, and for that I'm very thankful. As the old Kiddushim would say, I'm glad again to be in the tabernacle of Yahweh one more time. I do want to read a few scripture tonight from the scripture, a few verses. We do pray that it will strengthen your heart and bless you tonight. You know, I say that I'm happy because I understand why. As I say that, I had really no understanding of the word that I was using. And so I began to search it out and see what scripture says. It's a profound meaning. It's one that is full of the blessings and the fullness of Yahweh. That one's heart delight in truth. It is full of the contentment that Yahweh has placed in that one's bosom. And so is Mikras in the Greek language. But it's one that is full. And I'm full tonight. I don't know about you. But I'm full. And I do delight in His truth. Because what a great aspiration that it brings to one's heart. What clarity it brings to one's mind. For one certainly delights in the truth. The word of Yahweh has no profound impact in their lives. And it must have that. It's more than our words. It's a life and an action that emanates from us when there's a true love for Him. When our heart is set upon Him. When our affection is set upon Him. It's an ignorant generation. I will not stop saying that. It's a generation that has no understanding of Yahweh's truth, none whatsoever. That's why it's a generation of constant questions. And the questions never resolve anything. They never bring about any kind of shalom. As I look in scripture, I think about all the questions they ask HaMashiach. It never brought about any resolve. Because they already had their mindsets. It's almost like a child saying to the father, say, can I do this? And he says, no. And she says, why? Or he says, why? Because I said no. But tell me why. I told you why. Because I said you could not. Well, is there a reason why? Yes, the reason is because I said you cannot. Well, I know that's your reason, but why would you say that? Tell me why, please. That's the generation. And the reason they do that, they're trying to find a loophole to satisfy their own transgressions against the Torah or the truth of Yahweh. So they're always looking for a home. That's why I'm always asking questions. And that's what religion does. Anytime you find a religious mind, it is a mind of always questions. The Greeks were religious people. And they always sought to have more knowledge. And that's the way this generation is. It's a generation of Greeks. That's what it is. Always asking questions. Well, why? 2 + 2 = 4. Do you know that? Yeah, it's 4. How do you know that? Well, because it says it's 4. But how do you know 2 = or the value of 2 = 2? Because I know the value of the equal of 2. 2 value is 2. Well, how do you know that? Are you sure about that? It's not a proven science. Well, no science is proven. But the word of Yahweh is proven. How do I know that? How do you know it's proven? We're a generation that we're a very unlearned generation. I know it's proven because scripture tells us that that faith comes by hearing. And you have confidence in Him. You believe Him. You have confidence in His truth. You delight in His truth. So that's why I know it's real. It's real to me. I'm not worried about it being real. I am not concerned how real it is to this heathen generation. I'm not concerned about that. It's real to me. And it's real because there's a tremendous amount of Emunah, the faith of Yahweh, that I believe what He says. That's why it's real. And that's why I know it's real. Because it brings a great delight and a great sense of a strength in the inward parts that it exudes or causes the outward man to be exuded. To cause it to go forth with great strength. So I know it's real. I don't have to doubt that. I'm not a double-minded man. I'm not unstable. My way is sure because my feet are on the solid rock. And the rock is a sure rock. I'm not going to slip and fall. I'm not going to go backwards. I have a sure foundation. His word is sure. Why? Because Yahweh created the Shemayim and the earth and all things therein. It's not done by the evolution or the bacteria or the little amoeba that they found, that they think that life generated from that. Where did that start? So Yahweh created all things for His pleasure. And that's what He did with man, for His pleasure. To subdue, to take authority, charge over the earth. And with Him doing that, there will be a government in the life, or there will be a power to govern man in His Ruah, in His Lev, that he would obey all things that Yahweh commanded him. And that this place would have been a beautiful oasis. And sin has corrupted everything. This is a world that is in such shape that we don't even realize the shape it's in. Because we fantasize everything. It's in bad shape. Whether you believe that or not. This world is in bad shape. It's in bad shape. And there's going to be a great shout in the Shemayim. The herald shall sound the shofar. We shall see the bright and coming day of the mighty Messiah, the HaMashiach of Yahweh. That His kingdom shall be established forever upon this earth. And it shall be established. His kingdom truth is going to reign from this place like no other time. And what we better do, we better get this truth embedded in our heart and our inward parts. That we will not doubt what He says or trade it for some trinket of this life. Because there's nothing of any value in this life. How do you know? Because you're going to die. I was reading an article before I came here. There was a man that he had lost $14 million. He was a retired doctor, 56 years old. He made that kind of money in his lifetime. He lost $14 million. And what the casinos would do, they would fly him out. They knew what kind of money he had, his resources, his wealth. He was what they call a special patron. So they will fly him out to the casinos, give him one of the 5-star rooms, everything, massages, everything he wanted. They send his wife on shopping sprees. Of course, they're using his money now. He lost $7 million. And then the next 6 months, he lost another $7 million. I'm telling you this to say this. Because he has sued the casinos and also the pharmaceuticals. Because he said that the medication that they had him on had his mind twisted, had him to become very impulsive, had him to do things that he had never done in all of his life. The man had never done that. And all of a sudden, there's a great transformation in his life, his attitude, his personality, that he pursued these kinds of ventures, and he lost $14 million, and he's trying to get his money back. Can I tell you something? He's not going to get one dime back, not a nickel. So in all of that, what is it worth? What is all that worth? What value can you add to yourself once you're dead? Nothing. If a man gains the whole world today and loses his being, his soul, what does he gain? He cannot take anything with him. We better learn that aspect of life. You're not going to take one thing with you. Period. All the days of a man's labor is full of vanity. It's empty. It has no value. You labor for what? A car? Has no value. Who's going to drive it once you're dead? A house? You labor all your life for a few blocks. Sad. Pitiful. I want to labor to enter the kingdom. To see Him. Labor to possess what? A piece of metal? Some tin? Some cloth? That's what you labor for all your life. That is the riches of Yahweh. I'm happy. That's the riches of Yahweh. The fullness of His assurance. I'm going to continue to say that too. I'm happy. You see, I know more about it now. I'm happy. Why? Because I have the assurance of Yahweh in my inner parts. And I'm going to exude that, and I'm going to act like that too, whether you act like it or not. Let me read a few scriptures, and Brother Jermaine is going to come. He has a word to speak to our heart tonight. You that are listening, we have one of our young brothers. He's going to come and speak to us tonight, as we have other young men. But he is going to come tonight. Reassure our heart in the word of Yahweh. It's good to see the labor of a young man to speak with clarity and understanding, that we may have great understanding of this end time. And when a young man has a propensity and a fortitude to speak and to be a witness of actually what he speaks, that is a great statement. The statement of great strength, whether we understand that or not. It was one thing when we were young. We said, when I get old, then we're going to serve, quote, our God, unquote. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days, while Yahweh has abated them somewhat, they have not come upon you. When you shall get old, you will look back on those days and say, I take no pleasure in that. So I want to remember Him today. I want to know Him today. And I want to walk in the fullness of His power. And that is obedience unto Him. Come on, Brother Jermaine. May Yahweh bless you all. Receive our precious young brother with a hearty hallelujah way. For the word of Yahweh is true and is of great strength.
Hallelujah way. I want to bless Yahweh tonight for, first of all, He's waking me this morning, giving me life in my body, giving me the ability to move, to go out and work today. And then not only that, He brought me, Brother Dolphus, Brother Josh, home safely. Not only us, but also other brothers going out and work today. I want to take my time tonight and be liberate and real explanatory on my subject tonight. Concerning life, the soul, and breath. And where do we find where life first begins? Well, we're going to start in the Bereshit of all things in Genesis. If we go to Genesis, first chapter, verse 1, I'm going to begin reading. It says, in the beginning, Yahweh created the Shemayim and the earth.
That's all right.
Or the Hebrew word for earth is Heretz. Mm-hmm. And it says in the second verse, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Ruah of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters.
Yes.
Now I want to go back where it says, without form. And the earth was without form. Tohu is a Hebrew word for form, and it just meaning it was empty, without shape, alright? And void, boho, is a Hebrew word for boy, void. And it's just basically saying it was waste. Couldn't grow on it. There was no form. There wasn't really dry shod or land. It was just really in a mess. It was void. And it says, and darkness, hoshet, darkness, obscurity, was upon the face of the deep. And then look what happens here, a profound thing. See, a lot of times we read scripture, and because we hear, like, in Genesis, how the earth and the thing, living things became in creation, we just say, okay, the earth was out form without void, Yahweh moved, okay. Well, a lot of times we don't take time just to read certain words to understand the profound meaning, especially Hebrew. If somehow we can, if someone says something that offends us, we can remember every word and quote it, and we can pick it apart, add here and take a little there, but yet we don't do that in Scripture. We don't pick Scripture apart to understand the necessities of what it's saying. You understand, this is our lifeline here, the Torah. Okay? And the Ruah of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. And Yahweh said, let there be light. And there was light. Let's go on to 4. And Yahweh saw that it was good. And Yahweh divided the light from the darkness. All right?
Yes.
And Yahweh called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh say, let the firmament, which in Hebrew is rakia, just meaning expanse, it's broad, it's wide, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, do you really understand what it's saying when it says divide the waters from the waters? Well, in this expanse, he said a division, okay, from the waters that was here on the earth, from the mist that was in the Shemayim.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Hebrew word for water is Mayims. Mm. Sounds familiar? Shemayim.
Yeah.
Shemai basically is saying that it's haughty or it's high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what Shemai is. Then you have the Mayim, that's waters, okay? You know, cloud is basically water vapor. All right, so that's what he done there, okay? And Yahweh made the firmament and divided the waters which was under the firmament from the waters which was above the firmament, and it was so. Just to go back where it says, and the Spirit of Yahweh moved, that's where here in Torah where actually life began. When Yahweh, when His Spirit started to move here. And if you don't have the presence or the moving of Yahweh that sparks up in you, then you're dead. You're a dead person. You have no life. You're void. Just like it was saying here about the earth being without form. It was void. Void also mean that you're confused. You're disoriented. And there's darkness within you. We need the Spirit. We need the Ruah of Yahweh in our hearts and our lives tonight, saints. This is only a small portion. This is something I've been looking at for a while. I'm just going to bring a small portion to you tonight, saints, because there's one thing. Once you start studying a certain thing, it spreads out to so many other things. You can't really grasp everything. So I'm just going to just bring this small portion to you, saints. Basically, life, soul, and breath. Just keep that in remembrance, all right? All right, I'm going to read 1 and 7 again. And Yahweh made the firmament and divided the waters which was under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. See, also Yahweh, when He speaks, things happen. Things change. Verse 8. And Yahweh called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And if you notice how Yahweh, as He does each work, there's a morning and there's an evening. And this is where our days start to come about. All right? It's very simple things. It's all right? And Yahweh said, let the waters under the Shemayims be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Yahweh called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters. He gathered together of the waters and called it seas. And Yahweh saw that it was good. Everything that Yahweh does is good. Every good and perfect gift coming from Yahweh above. And also I want you to take a remembrance the elements that I'm also talking about as water, land. Those are the very elements that we need to sustain life in this physical body. Well, you cannot survive without water. Over 88-90% of the body is water. Every living thing needs water. You got some germs, amoebas that can survive in dryness, but yet it still needs water before it even can do any reproduction or anything like that. Water is very important. So also is land. Sunlight is very important. We need the light. We need Yahshua, which was the Word made flesh. Scripture says that Yahweh, He sent light into the world. But what do men do? They rather enjoy or stay in darkness rather than be in the light. And you know, there's creeping things that creep in the night. There's things that actually can grow in the night. But without the light, see, there would be no balance. You understand? So we need light. We need the waters. We need earth. And I'm going to move on here. Verse 11. And Yahweh said, let the earth bring forth grasses, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding trees after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grasses and herb yielding seed after its kind, and tree yielding fruits whose seed was in itself after its kind. And Yahweh saw that it was good. All right. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, we're approaching the fourth day. And Yahweh said, let the lights in the firmament in the expanse of the Shemayims to divide the day from the night. All right. And let them be for signs. Okay. And the light that he's that is saying here is basically like the stars. All right, the stars have been used in Scripture for signs. When Messiah was born, there was a star used to guide the shepherds. And don't you know there was also other wise men? The shepherd one, the only ones that see the difference in this is that the shepherds, a malach spoke unto the shepherds, okay? Yeah. And they were led by the stars, okay? But then you have those that were stargazers, astrologers, that looked towards the stars for signs, and they basically followed these things through writings, through Scripture, and they also knew that there was a Messiah or a king being born, okay? So that's what the stars have been given to us for signs, also for seasons, all right, for days and years, all right? We're going to go to verse 15. And let them be for light in the firmament of the Shemayans to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Yahweh made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule in the night. He made the stars also, all right? And Yahweh set them in the firmament of the Shemayans to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Yahweh saw that it was good. See, in this we see Yahweh making a vast differential between light and between darkness. All right? Before the Ruah of Yahweh moved upon the earth, there was darkness, there was voidness, there was emptiness. Nothing was without shape, there was no order. That's what happens in the heart of man, in the soul of man, when Yahweh does not move, when you don't have the Spirit of Yahweh abiding. You cannot move. Even in the physical realm, a person, if he can't move without esprit, see, life brings forth esprit. You can see it in the animals, okay? I want to make a vast differentiation or show you the difference in between the spirit and the animal or souls. Or, you know, there's been questions concerning that, whether animals have souls or anything like that. I just want to read you what I have concerning that, because they breathe the same air that we breathe, okay? And we know that when Yahweh, when he created Adam, okay, he did something very unique that was different from all the creation. If you read in Genesis, it says that he created, you know, the animals, living things, okay? I'll show you that as I go. But they breathe. But Yahweh did something very special when he made man, okay? He did more than just made us able to breathe air, okay? All right. I'll get to that. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm going to take my time. Okay. We're going to start at 19, Genesis 1:19. It says, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And Yahweh said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life. The fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of the Shemayans. Okay. And what I'm about to get into here is that in my scripture and your scripture, even as I'm reading life in some verses, it's more than just living, if you understand what I'm saying. In the Hebrew, they have a word for living, life, as far as plants, animal life, even our lives, okay? Then they have a meaning whereby if I was going to save your life, okay, or either if you was going to save your life, okay, they have different words for what, the same word that we would use in the English language, which if you was reading, you wouldn't get the full, you couldn't grasp the full concept of what the scripture is saying, okay? I want to take my time so you get an understanding of this. Okay. Genesis 2, I want to begin at verse 7. All right. Now, in the previous, we talked about how Yahweh started dividing days. Plant life was coming to existence as he spoke. He spoke about fowl, birds in the air, and the Shemayans, though that fly near the ground or up high, all right, and other animals. And right here it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And Yahweh formed man, okay, of the dust of the ground. What a mighty Yahweh, Abba, that we serve. And listen here, this one will take my time. I'm going to read each word, okay? And, listen to this, breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay? Now, I don't want to lose you here, because not only do we have the breath of life, but also does animals have the breath of life. Now, I'm going to show you a distinction here when as I go on, okay? And what does it say next? After the breath of life, what does it say? Somebody, just read that.
Man became a living soul.
Okay. I believe right then, man was the closest thing to Yahweh because he became a living soul. And he became a living soul not only because Yahweh, as he breathed, see, nowhere other in the scripture before this one have you heard of Yahweh actually breathing into this plant, okay, or breathing into this certain species of animal. He breathed the breath of life unto man, okay? And that breath of Yahweh then formed, had this man to become, or as we are, living souls. So we have living souls, all right? Living souls. That's very important. Because not only can a soul live, but a soul also can die. And living, as I expressed, as I begun, is when Yahweh's, when his Ruah began to move, okay? When Yahweh, when he breathed breath into Adam, he began to move, okay? And not only did he move physically, but something stirred up inside of him. His soul moved. I believe then that Adam was the closest thing to Yahweh at that time. I believe he had a like-mindedness of Yahweh. I believe that he could understand what Yahweh was speaking unto him. Why? Why could he understand that? Why could he understand? Because he had the Ruah. He had of Yahweh, okay, dwelling in him. And then we know even after hence, we know that Yahweh created woman also. And then we know that he visited them in the garden, okay? I believe they could feel Yahweh's presence when he came because Yahweh's Ruah moved. When Yahweh comes into your heart, come into your life, into your Ruah, you'll feel him move. It will not be something, you will not be empty, lifeless. You'll be full of life. Because the scripture says, Yahweh, he moved upon the waters, upon the face of the deep. And what happened? What happened to the earth? Life began to form. Even as he spoke. Even now as Torah is speaking unto you, life should be dwelling up in you. All right, Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, I'll read that again. And out of the ground made Yahweh to grow every living tree. Okay, he's talking about the trees in the garden. That was pleasant to the sight, that was good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. I want to expound upon that a little bit. He placed fruits whereby Adam could eat, all right? He could replenish his body because he was in the physical form, all right? To replenish his body. I believe all that Adam needed was right there in the midst of the garden. I believe he could have continued, if it was so, if it was in Yahweh's plan, continue eating fruit because it provided the nourishment. It provided everything that he needed in his physical body. Because when Yahweh comes back, what is he going to come looking for? For fruit. But not just fruit, but abundance of fruit. He's not going to come looking for, I want to speak in the physical term, your offering as meat, or a good person as I've been. I've given this to this person. I've given so much. I give my money away. That's not what he's looking for. He's going to look for what he started in the beginning. Alright? His Ruah. He wanted to see has it flourish in your lives. Alright? That's what he's going to come back looking for. Okay? And now, I'm not going to go into where Yahweh created Eve and was cast out of God. We pretty much all should know that. Okay? I want to go to the sixth chapter of Genesis of Bereshit. And I'll start at verse 17. And before this verse, I was talking about Noah, how he moved with fear, because Yahweh was going to cause rain to fall from the Shemayims. Water was going to actually come from the Shemayims. Previous, the plants and things would receive water from the ground. It would come as a mist and then receive water. But here Yahweh is going to open up the skies. But not only the skies, you know that he opened up also the waters that was even under the earth. All right, those fountains began to break, okay? But he did a wonderful thing. As we see, you know, even in drought, one of the main things we look for in drought is rain. All right, and we know that water also represents the Ruach, Yahweh's spirit being poured. All right. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh." Okay, now I'm bringing this in because I want to show you the difference, as I was saying, between man, animal, breath. I want to show you a difference between life, okay? As up until this point, I've been referring to life as living things, plants, animals, air breathers, okay, if I could just say that, all right? I'm going to start at chapter 6, verse 17 again one more time. "And behold, I even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is," what does it say?
The
breath of life. Now, what was Yahweh doing here? He was destroying by water those that breathe, whether it be animal, whether it be man. He destroyed them, all right, except those that were saved in the ark, all right? And here, breath, it's going to make a change as I go further in Genesis when I go into chapter 9, even in chapter 19 of Genesis, as the meaning of life changes, okay? Okay, right here, breath, in the Hebrew form, it's che in the Hebrew form, just meaning just air breathers, plants, life, okay? But then it's going to change as I go on into chapter 9 of Genesis 4, if you want to go ahead and turn there. It's going to change from che to nefesh, okay? And that is talking about actually the soul. It talks about that thing that Adam received when Yahweh breathed the breath into him, okay? And I want to make the distinction because I want you to go back and, as Pastor said so many times for you, just to read. I want you to understand, even go along further, and even as I'm going along with life. Because this is something I've been looking at, you know, for quite a few days. I'm just sharing a small portion with you. I don't have the full knowledge of everything, but I bless Yahweh for the little that he's have given me. Now I'm going to read chapter 6 and 17 one more time, all right? "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the Shemayims, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Okay? Genesis 9 and 4 says, and this is where it changed, life changed, where it's actually talking about the soul. There's a vast difference, okay? Because this is what Yahweh has breathed into man. I know I'm pressing this point because I want to, because this is what this is about, okay? I'm pressing that point. This is what Yahweh has breathed into man, okay? But flesh, and it says, and you can even notice how the term changes with, it starts with the life, okay? Is a specific. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye should not eat. Okay? And this is talking about what we should consume. But I'm bringing this point because this is where life changes until we're actually talking about the soul of man. You shouldn't eat another man's flesh. Cannibalism. Yeah. All right? That's very unclean. It's very wicked. Because it says, it gives us a specific commandment, really, here. It says, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood, okay, thereof shall you not eat. Okay? Genesis 9 and 5. Let's go to verse 5. It says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require." Okay? This is the judgment. "At the hand of every beast will I require it. All right? And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require, and it says, the life of man, the soul, your soul. The worst thing that you can lose in this life is not your car. All right? It's not your big fancy house, your little raggedy falling down house. Nothing in this life, okay, that materializes or fades away, okay? It is your soul. And that's all that Yahweh has given you when he breathed his breath. All right? Also, if you would, we're going to drop down to chapter 19, verse 17. Not going to be before you long. But I want to stress this point that, and I want to encourage all of you that to study more. Not just read, but I know when I read, there's certain things that kind of catch my eye and I become curious and I want to know what it is. And I just search it out and find out what it is. And it gives you a deeper understanding to what Scripture replies or refers to. All right, Genesis 19, verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Or in other words, escape for your soul. Okay? And that again is nephesh in the Hebrew words. Look not behind, neither stay in all the plain. It says, escape, run to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. All right, I'm going to skip 18 and I'll go to verse 19 because I'm just dealing with basics of life, of the soul and of breath. Behold now, thy servant hath found mercy in thy sight, and thou hast magnified the mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And the reason why he's in this is using soul also because he wanted him to know that you're saving more than just, you know, my presence and existence, but actually my soul. Because when you pass from this life, your body's going to decay. But still, your soul, you're going to go on into judgment. Neither can the enemy, Satan, kill the soul. Only Yahweh. And basically, in this death that we find in souls, you can see it in many people. Is that, like I said when I first begun, because the Ruah of Yahweh is not moving in their lives. They're dead. Like I said before, the Ruah is not moving in your life. Search your hearts tonight, saints. If you don't find the presence of Yahweh in your heart, in your life, then you need to find it. And for all the preaching and exaltation we heard these many years, there should not be any excuse, really. The only reason you will not have it because you're not chosen. And that's a very fearful thing. Because after you pass from this life, you go to judgment. And that's very serious because from there states your destiny, whether you're going to spend eternal life with Yahweh or whether you spend the rest of your soul life being separated in death in hell. Okay? These are my last two verses I have tonight, saints. If you would, just turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. And this just puts the icing on what I just phrased to you. It says, behold, observe, know this. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. All souls belong to Yahweh, whether it be the one of the drunken man or whether it be you in this house tonight. Yeah. And it says in the last statement, it says the soul that what? Is gone what? Yeah. Now, is that true for life? So everyone here realize that your soul shall die or it can die. Yeah. It shall die. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And I want to skip down to my last verse in Ezekiel. Chapter 18, I'm going to go to 20, verse 20. It's talking about the soul again. It says, the soul that sinneth, all right, the soul that continues to break the mitzvah, the Torah of Abba Yahweh, yes. It says that it shall die. I believe that. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, of the Avah. Mm. And what that is saying, that in this time, that you're not going to be, I mean, your sins are going to be judged. Yahweh's going to judge your sins.
Yeah.
All right? He's not going to put or judge you for the sins that your mother committed. All right? He's not going to judge you for the sins that your sister committed.
Yes.
He's going to judge you for the sins you committed.
Yes.
It says here, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So, if you're righteous tonight, if you are living, if you have the Ruah, the breath of Yahweh moving in you tonight, then you're righteous.
That's all righteous.
Okay? That's the simplest way. You're righteous. If you're everything that Yahweh expects of you to be today, which I've fallen short since.
Yeah.
I need the word of Abba Yahweh to continue to cleanse me, because first of all, I want to get to that place. I'm not there yet. I want to get to that place where the fullness of the life of the breath of Abba Yahweh be fulfilled in this body. That's my desire. And I believe as Yahweh has started my life and is leading me in the right path, He's also going to end my life in this way, in this path. And those that you are that are wicked, your sins is going to follow you into judgment. That's basically what it's saying. The wickedness of the wicked, it's going to be upon you. So I urge you saints tonight to judge your hearts. I pray that you got some understanding of what I've spoken tonight. That you retain it, that you go back and just read these simple truths. And to dig deeper. Because the word of Yahweh is so simple that even I can understand it. A babe can understand it. But yet it's so deep. And it intrigues me the more I dig. You're not going to find the bottom of it. There's always something you can search out. There's no reason that any of you cannot find any time during the day to do some studying, do some reading with your family. I encourage brothers to read the brothers, sisters read the sisters. It's just the wonderful word of Yahweh. And this is our lifeline today, saints. So, Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah.
May Yahweh's strength and His assurance rest in our hearts tonight, collectively and in the lab of His people. Such profound things of great importance. Of course, He did not have to stop for me. I was going to say to Him, you got more of that. We will let you finish that. We will make sure we take time. But what a profound statement, this power of His Ruah that produced the essence of what He is. Now that, as Brother Jermaine said, and I'm not trying to critique what he said, but it was so good. I like what it implied. I like the essence of it. And yet, as he breathed that profound breath into Adam, HaMashiach, he made a statement, the words that I speak unto you, they are the Ruah of Yahweh, and it is His life. And as Adam was formed into that being to be in the likeness of Almighty Yahweh, because that is profound, as he said, everything that Yahweh spoke to him, he understood. He understood the power of that one who had created him. And there's one thing that his life or his breath does, as it was constantly spoke to us tonight, that it produces actually the personality and the power of Almighty Yahweh. We need that assurance in our heart tonight. Without that, you are not of His. How profound that is, because He breathed the breath into man. And he became the fullness of Yahweh's power in the earthen tabernacle. That is what he was. He was not something that was partial. He did not have the partial strength of Yahweh. But he had the fullness of Yahweh's power in an earthen tabernacle that could be measured in a body. It was the fullness of His life. It was the essence of Yahweh. And as He said, He was the closest thing And he was. He was the perfect image of Yahweh. He was formed in the perfect manner of Yahweh. His mind was perfect. His thought was perfect. His love was perfect. The law, the Torah in him was perfect. And without the life or the Ruah of the Torah, then we have a dead, substanceless life. There is no substance at all in it. He made a profound statement. I don't know if you heard it. I did. He said, as it was in the beginning, Yahweh, in this end time, he shall go back to the beginning. And he is. I want to read a scripture. I got to read it, brother. Two, I must read. Because that was very, to me it was. I hear things. And I want to, as Brother Jermaine said, I want to increase in my emunah, my faith. As the old Kiddushin would say, I want to go to higher heights. And I want to go to deeper depths. And the only way you're going to get to that plateau is that you must have the ability to hear. You must have the ability to hear. It must be. I want to read two scriptures. I must read this, John. As Shaul said, I want you to listen. He says unto the Kiddushins of Corinthia, he says this. He says, we have this kind of confidence toward Yahweh through the life. And HaMashiach is the living word of Yahweh. He is the power of the living Torah of Yahweh. He is Yahweh's bosom. That's what he is. He is the word made flesh, and he brought that out. He said, not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves. Everything that Yahweh did in that piece of clay, it was by the power of his breath, his life. And he filled him with the essence of truth, his word. And that is what Adam was. And so Shaul said, it is not that you can acquaint or associate anything that we do of our own abilities. Because there is no excellence of my own strength or no abilities of my own discovery. It comes from Yahweh. He said, but our competence, our ability to understand is from Yahweh. It is by the power of his breath, his life. And we do not have the Ruah of Yahweh. We are not his. And that is why we have many that are dead. They're twice dead. They're plucked up by the root because there is no law for truth. They do not emanate or they do not illuminate the power of his life. Because when he breathed that breath into Adam, he was the fullness of life. He was the blessing. The blessing of Yahweh dwelt in that earthen tabernacle. He says this, he has made us competent to be ministers. Now that's what he has done. To be ministers of the new or the renewed covenant. Not of the latter, but of the Ruah. For the latter kills, but the Ruah produces life. It brings the power of Yahweh's life. And that is what the Ruah of the Torah does. It brings the power of his life. And it is evident in our lives. Because we know who our governor is. We know what counsel or what counseling we receive. And we understand the excellence of Yahweh's counsel. Why? Because it brings about the fullness of the power of his life in our earthly tabernacle. So it is the Ruah of the Torah that produces the fullness of the heart of Yahweh. And that is what he puts into Adam. He breathed that breath and he became the fullness of the power of Almighty Yahweh. And that is what his Ruah does. And he is going to prove it emphatically in this hour. I want to read this. And I'm not going to hold you. I want to read this though. Because it's very important. It says in Gileana. Just listen to it. I want to read it. It says that there are those that will come in the power and the strength of Yahweh's Ruah. Now the only way they're going to come in that great power, as Brother Jermaine pointed our attentions, I'm going to study that even deeper, brother. I understand what he is saying. Because it is one thing that the word of Yahweh does. When a man began to seek for that revelation truth, it will lead into all kinds of direction. But it always brings us back to him. And focuses on him. But it will show us the dynamics of Yahweh. I don't think we understand the dynamics of him. The power, how powerful he is. How brilliant he is. how great His strength is, how powerful His words are. Did you all hear that? He said He spoke and the living things, they came forth. He spoke and the waters were separated. He spoke and the mountains shot up through the earth. The rocks quake. When Yahweh speaks, the rocks quakes in the Shemayam. It trembles. And yet we had this great convulsion and all this great creation. And we see what things came forth out of the spoken word. Listen to this. Just hear this. It says that when these witnesses of Yahweh, when they had finished their testimony, this beast, this vile, insidious government, this corrupt order that we see today, it is already established. And what is established is established in the heart of man, because they do not have the Ruah. They do not have the life. It is one thing that the life of Yahweh does, His Ruah does. It gives us hope and confidence in His Word. It is truth. Who named all things in the earth? Was it Yahweh or Adam? He gave that to Adam, didn't He? Because he had confidence in what he was doing. And so when this beast, when it hears this testimony, what is the testimony? These witnesses, they kept the living power of the Torah, and they had the witness of the living testimony of HaMashiach. For that is our identity. Those that keep His Mitzvah, and those that have the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. It said that the beast that came upon or came up out of the abyss will make war with them and conquer them and kill them. Take their life. It's going to take the breath out of them. Now that is what the power of darkness always does. It comes to rob, steal, and it kills. And when one has no strength of hope or emunah or confidence in Yahweh, it is because there is an insidious power of darkness. It is the beast spirit. Brother Jermaine made a tremendous analysis between the beast of the earth and the living man, that being that Yahweh created. And so when a man doesn't possess that power of the life of Yahweh, because he is a beastly thing. He has the power of darkness. And he is robbing from the essence of Yahweh. He said, it shall kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the public square, in the streets of the gate of the city, of the great city, which is called prophetically Sodom and Gomorrah, or Egypt, where also Yahshua HaMashiach was impaled. And representatives from the people, tribe, language, and nations will view their bodies for the 3.5 days and will not permit their bodies to be put into the tomb. Now that's profound. As Brother Jermaine said, as you always did from the beginning, he said that now. Not I. He shall do it again in the last day. As he brought forth this excellent man out of the earth, and breathed this life into him. When he breathed into him, he spoke unto him, and he became the very power of the authority of Yahweh's ability to govern. In the beginning, he told us it was without form, the earth was. It was void, it had no form. And when one has not the Ruah, they have no form. They're lifeless, they're dead, they have no strength, they have no beauty whatsoever. Listen to this. It says, those that live on the earth, they will gloat over them, and they will celebrate and send gifts to one another, because these two nabis, prophets, tormented those that lived on the earth. Their words were very powerful, and they spoke by the Ruah of Yahweh, and everything that they spoke was by Abba Yahweh's direction. If a man has not his breath in him, he is none of his. We have not the life of Yahweh in us. We're none of his. And from the beginning, he declared his heritage by putting breath, his life, into them. And HaMashiach is the fulfillment of that. For every word that Yahweh speaks to us, in sundry times he spoke by HaMashiach. But he has in sundry times, he spoke by the Nabis, the prophets. But now he has chosen a more excellent way. Now he speaks to us by his Son, by the living word, the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach. And so they began to gloat because of this great thing that had taken place. There was no breath of the life of Yahweh in the earth. None. And we find very little today. It's not much today. None whatsoever. And so they began to gloat. They began to rejoice over this. Why? Because they were tormented. They were not at ease. There were no shalom unto them. They were not satisfied. Because these two Nabis, the living Torah of Yahweh, and the power of this truth renewed in this life of our Mashiach, it is going to be revealed and it shall be to this vile generation. And they have rejected in the beginning the Torah, the living power of the Torah, they have rejected it. And this will give Yahweh the fullness of His power to bring judgment upon the world. He has the full power to do it. But this is the last chance, you understand? It says this. This is what I want to read. After 3.5 days, their bodies were lying in the streets. They mocked it. It says in Gileana. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from Yahweh entered them. And they stood on their feet. So great fear fell on all those that saw them. And they heard a loud voice from the Shemayam saying, come up here. And they went up to the Shemayam in the cloud while their enemies watch them. With the death of HaMashiach, did his enemies watch him? They watched the breath go out, didn't they? And yet in the power of Yahweh's kingdom, in this great witness, that he shall pour power out upon this earth, because they have rejected this living source of life. There is no life without the breath of Yahweh. That's why our expressions have no ambience to it. That's why it has no light to it. And they shall rise up on their feet for the breath. And Yahweh shall enter into them. And those that are elect according to His long suffering and His kindness toward us, it is going to take the power of that breath to give us strength against the insidious powers of hell in this hour that works against the Torah, against Yahweh's truth. There is no delight in that. No whatsoever. And without that breath of Yahweh giving us a resurrection hope, we have no hope at all. That's why we're up. We're down. That's why we lie sometime dead, even as these two Nabis shall lie. And we see that the Torah of Yahweh has, it has lost life. Sure it has. There's no life in it. People reject it. They resist it. The testimony of the witness of HaMashiach today, that he came in his Abba's name, it has no vitality today. Men say it is of no importance. It is no great substance. He was just a man. Sure he was. But he was the living power of the Torah with that breath, with the living breath of Yahweh, with Yahweh's breath, to personify to the height that we that even under the letter of the law, we should all be dead, but yet under the Ruah of the Torah, we find life, brothers and sisters. We find the life of Yahweh. We find this breath of hope that comes from Almighty Yahweh. And without that breath or that renewing of life, they were alive. They were killed. And yet the renewedness of life came forth, just like he brought out the earth. Something transpired that it lost its form and its beauty. Yahweh never created anything like that. He created it perfect with great splendor. Something transpired that it had lost its beauty and its charm, its glow. Something had transpired in your life. What has transpired? As you've lost the glow, have you lost the as he said, that esprit of Yahweh, that great jovialness, that joy, that great delight to know that there's a breath that's in me that is worth something of a great value. As Brother Jermaine said, we retain every kind of foolish thing that is insignificant. When it comes to the promise of His truth, we have no ability to retain. Because we don't give our ear attentively to Yahweh. We do to every kind of foolish, sordid, trivial trash. When it comes to Him, we don't. And everything that Yahweh spoke unto Adam, he was able to hear. Because he had the breath. That's what we're not able to hear. Because we don't have the breath. And then the breath of Yahweh entered into them. And they rose up on their feet. Do you understand? And he cried unto them, come up hither, come here. Because the earth is not worthy of you. And only those that are the remnant of the seed will rejoice in this. Do you understand? Or they're going to rejoice even in the death because they know that there is a fulfillment of even that death. Well, it seems so fictitious. What is more fictitious than evolution? That you come from some creature. He has given us the real account tonight. Yahweh made man. He formed him from the dust of the earth. How do I know that? Because we go back to dust. Your body, it just goes back to dust. Turns back to dirt. The worms eat it. Almost eerie like little fingers, knowing that worms are going to eat your body one day. Isn't it? But it's going to take His breath. And that is the power of His life, that His word spoken to us. And that it has power to perform, to produce an abundance of fruit, to produce His identity. You could not identify Adam with anyone but Yahweh. Believe me, he was not dead like us. Not at all. We used to sing an old song that Yahweh is not dead. We didn't say it like that. He is still alive. He's never been dead. Never. No, he didn't end there. He was never dead. That was his living word that he had to suffer. And suffer the shame of that. To go down to the belly of the earth. That men will not believe him because they had lost the breath of life. And once one lose that breath of life, there's nothing there. I don't care who it is. I don't care what you say. I don't care if it's your son, your daughters. I don't care if your dad, your mom, if they do not have the breath of life, there's nothing there. And you need that. You go on with that, son. I would like to hear more of that. There's one thing that the word of Yahweh does as he spoke. It produced life. And that's why we must hear the word of Yahweh by the foolishness of preaching or this idiotic form that Yahweh has ordained that men will stand and declare it, this truth vociferous with a great proclamation. It seems stupid, doesn't it? But that's what Yahweh wants. He wants us to do it with a loud voice, with a great proclamation. I wish I could talk like Brother Jermaine. I wish I could. I'm serious. I wish I could take deliberate efforts like that and lay things out so smooth. But he wants this word declared. And I shall declare from the mountaintop. I shall herald it aloud. Because by the foolishness of preaching, Yahweh is going to save the world. He's going to save who? 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 No, those that believe. Those that believe. He has a seed. He has a people. Israel is still his people. But Israel doesn't believe either. He's going to save those that believe. And for one believer, there's total confidence. They lay down everything in this life to obtain the great jewel and the great riches that they find in the living words. That's all right. What can you value the breath of Yahweh with? Tell me, what is it equal to? Nothing. There's nothing like His breath. When He breathes, it produces life. That's what it does. It produces life. And His Torah, and the life of His Torah, It was never to produce death. Never. It was to produce life. It was because of the weakness of man's flesh. It was the sinful nature of man that he rejected it. And so HaMashiach said that Yahweh will do something that is great. He's going to send his power. What is that? Well, he's going to send the life of his breath, or confidence in what he has said, that it's going to keep you alive. You're going to believe what he said. It sounds stupid. It sounds arcane. But you're going to believe it. You're going to have great confidence. You're not going to have reservations about it. No, you're going to just believe it. You're going to trust that. And in trusting that, you're going to find the promises and the hope of life. I want his breath in me. Breathe on me, Yahweh. Let your breath flow as HaMashiach breathed on them. Not that trash of Benny Hinn. And they all receive HaKodash Urua. And he breathed on them. And they will feel. And they will fear. There's nothing like the breath of Yahweh. Don't you know the winds? They obey his command. He poured that out of his treasure. Just you know, Brother Jermaine brought up something. Let me say this. He brought up that word astrology or astrologist. It's nothing wrong with astrology. But what man has done with it is wrong. He was right in what he said. Because there were the stars and things that were set there for a sign, for a season. But what astrologists, what they have done with it. If you use it for a very asinine purpose, a very devilish thing. Yeah, we didn't set that there for you to read your palm and tell you you're going to have a good day. He gave us confidence and assurance in his word to let us know how our day will be. You understand? Show us how to have prolonged life. Show us how to have good health and to have confidence in him. You understand? He did not do that for us to read the stars and say that we're going to get some love life. Not so. You're going to find a husband. Nah. You're going to have a good day today. Well, I'm going to have a blessed day every day. Because I'm happy. Why? Because he loves me. That's enough. I'm glad to be alive. Boom. I'm happy. May Yahweh bless you tonight. You that are listening by the live stream, may give you confidence. May your hearts be filled tonight. We do bless you all, and we do bless Yahweh for you. We do thank you for your time to come and visit with us here in the tabernacle. You heard our young brother, Brother Jermaine, young man that's been with us for many years. On the Shabbat, you will hear Deacon Honeycutt. He will speak to you. I will not be here on the Shabbat, but Yahweh will bless you mightily. He will speak words of great confidence to you as well. So I think about my life as a young person. You know, it was one thing that even when I was young, I'm not going to say I was curious like others and was seeking out his name and things like that, because I was not. That's just the truth. But there was always something in me as a young lad that I knew things. I always knew things were not as they presented themselves. It was not like that. And at a very young age, I had a consciousness and awareness of things. I really did. I had a good conscience and a good awareness of things that were around me and what things were happening. I did not know the totality of things, but I had a good idea and I had an understanding of things. Not much, but a little bit. I don't have a lot of understanding of things now. But I have the ability to submit to hear. Because that's the only way you would ever learn anything. You must hear. And what the enemy has done, he has caused a generation to ask questions. Well, tell me why. Well, why is this then? Well, okay, then, I got a question then. I got one question to ask you. I had a young man, you know, he wrote me the other day. He said, Pastor Roberts, I have spent days downloading every message you've got on the web. He said, I did it all by a landline. So you can imagine what that took. I said, yeah, quite impressive. So he asked me a question. So I answered the question. So he writes me back and said, well, this and that. I say, look, lad, if you knew the answer, why you ask me? Don't even ask me. It's not a generation that loves truth or want to hear truth. And that is the trust that what Christianity has taught us. It's not a generation that wants to hear. Faith, the emunah of Yahweh, comes by hearing. And when one give attentively to hear, then they will grow. You will never grow. Show me anywhere in Scripture. I'm going to preach on that one day. All the questions that were asked. Those that asked the question whereby there was an exponential growth in any of those that asked the question. Show me one place. Show me where you grow when you ask questions. Show me where you grow when you are there any intensity of love or hava toward your neighbor, your sister, when you ask questions. Well, answer this. I want to ask you a question, brother. Tell me this. Why is this? Why do you do this? It creates a separation, doesn't it? So the questions never produce anything. And this is the power of darkness. Well, how do I know that? Because when Shaitan's encounter with HaMashiach, did he ask questions? If thou be the son of Yahweh, always question. This is a generation that has questions, but they do not have the ability to hear the answer, even to the questions. And they are taught that from the beginning. That's what we're taught. We're not taught to hear, to be quiet, to learn, to understand. Even our little children, daddy say, sit down. Well, daddy, let me ask you, daddy, what about this? See, they do. That's the way we're taught. We're not taught to be attentive. My grandmother taught us to be quiet, to listen. Even though we were young. Can I tell you something? You parents, we that age. I can remember thinking about 4 or 5 years old, 3. No, I cannot remember everything at 3, but I can remember certain incidents. You can't remember that? I can. There are things in your life you can remember. They're just suppressed, but I can go back 3 or 4 years old. I tell my wife all the time when I was 4 years old, I was writing and all of that. I knew my ABCs. And, yes, I did. I could count. I knew all that. Why? Because we were in the country. We had nothing to do about those kinds of things. All we did was play stickball in the summer. 5 years old, I could take a ball. I could hit that thing far, run fast. Sure, it would be about 20 of us. So we played softball, stickball. What did we do during the hard days? There was nothing to do but study, read, and write. I could write in cursive, had nice penmanship. I could do all those things. Why? Because that's all we had time to do. Nowhere to go. No video games to play. Didn't have no television. So we learned. That's what we did. Sat around and glad to have a book to read, whatever it was. Read it over 100 times. You knew it backwards and forward. So we had time to do things like that. This is a generation that it doesn't do that. Generation that's seeking its own. It's not seeking the will of Yahweh. And that's the truth. Bless you, brother Jermaine. Thank you for that word tonight. Yeah, we bless you all. Be encouraged, saints. I am. I'm happy. I am flat out happy. Look to your neighbor and say, are you happy tonight? Come on, look at them again. Look at someone and say, are you happy tonight? Turn to someone else and ask them that. I know I am. I am sure enough happy. I am. I'm glad. This is a generation that doesn't know what happiness is because they base things, happiness, off some fictitious false image. I don't know what it is. That's what love is, truth. May Yahweh bless you. Bless you all that listen. Let us stand to our feet. Bless you all tonight. Be encouraged. I am. I am encouraged. And I am happy. Believe me, I am. I'm happy. Because I have the fullness of Yahweh. Had that breath, son. Thank Yahweh for that. You reassure me. I don't mind you reassuring me. I have no problem with someone reassuring me. Reassure me. The breath to eradicate all the darkness and the voidness. I want his life in me. In all things we bless you tonight, Abba. We thank you for your kindness, your truth. Look upon us all. Bless your people, I pray. Give all the brothers rest that have labored today and those that have labored here, the sisters as well. Touch them in their bodies, I pray, in the mighty name of HaMashiach. Those that have listened by the short wave, give them by the live stream. Bless them, I pray, in Yahshua's mighty name. And all the Kiddushim said, hallelujah.